Today's Bible reading is from Luke 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Well, it's great to be with you this morning. I've just come back. Gillian and I had a few weeks in the US. We celebrated Thanksgiving with Gillian's family in New York, and then drove to Ohio and spent some time with her family there. And it's good. It's, you know, the song about coming home for the holidays. And there's something special about celebrating holidays with family. And in that vein, it's good to welcome Lawson Wallace back to church this morning. Back from the Middle East, and we're excited to have you back, Lawson. Lawson will actually be preaching at the 5 p.m. service in January and coming on the youth summer camp. So not just a holiday for Lawson, he's going to be working hard for the Lord as well. So yeah, one of the things I got to do while I was in the States, I saw a couple of NBA games. I enjoy the NBA, and I saw one in Brooklyn and another in Cleveland. And one thing I like about the NBA is you get overlooked heroes. So if you see this picture, this is from a few years ago, but one of these players is possibly the greatest basketballer of all time, and the other one is LeBron James. So if you don't know basketball, you don't know why that was funny. But so LeBron James is probably, I would say, the greatest basketball player of all time. And the smaller white guy next to him is Matthew Dellavedova from Victoria, Australia. And Delly is a hero. Delly is one of those kind of underrated guys. He's not the most athletic. He's not the tallest. He's not the person you would assume maybe would have a successful professional sporting career, but he has grit and tenacity, and he actually has kind of forged himself a reputation. He's kind of a cult hero in Cleveland. There are t-shirts with his face on it. There are memes. There's a meme of like Delly playing Jordan, and it's like the battle of the greatest of all times. And so I love Delly. People love Delly. He's like, okay, LeBron, sure, he's the headline. He's who people come to see. But Delly is the one. Don't just see LeBron. You got to see this guy play. And there's another overlooked hero that you might know, especially at Christmas time, from the movie Home Alone. Marv in Home Alone is you know, you can talk about Macaulay Culkin, you know, Kevin, he's the star, right? But really, Marv makes this movie. Marv in his reactions, in his just completely over-the-top mannerisms. And so It's fun sometimes to kind of think about who are the people maybe a bit beside the spotlight. And I think today, as we look at a part of the Christmas story, we're going to look at someone who isn't necessarily the headliner of the Christmas story. That's Jesus. But I do think Mary is an overlooked hero. Not that she's absent, not that we ignore her, because obviously when we have the nativities, we see her, she's there, she's present, she's pretty central, usually next to Jesus, in her blue and white attire. I don't know why it's blue and white, but it always is. But Mary actually is an incredible person in the story. And I think as we look at her and also her relative Elizabeth, we're going to see three really important things that happen when the presence of God shows up. So that's what we're going to look at today. We think about Mary. We're going to think about what are the three really amazing things that the presence of God does. So let's start by looking at the verses that we just had read to us. And the angel Gabriel comes along to Mary and gives her three messages. And the first message is from verses 26 to 28, where Gabriel comes to her and he says to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And that's, if you think about it, that's an incredible event to happen. Can you imagine Mary is there and all of a sudden the angel Gabriel comes, and it would have been completely overwhelming for that, and she would have been fearful and not knowing what's about to happen, and she's kind of bracing for what is going to come, and the angel says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Could there be any more beautiful words to hear from an angel of the Lord? That you are highly favored by God. That the Lord is with you. And so you could imagine in that moment, even as Mary is experiencing fear and trembling, she's not sure what's going to happen, to hear those words, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you," something must have just leapt in Mary's heart. Like, what is about to happen? And so if we continue the story, and there are slides for this, Al, if you want to click on them. The angel continues the message, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." So that's what the angel tells her. This incredible news. Not only is she highly favored by God, but she's going to be the one to bear God's chosen ruler, the Messiah, the one that Israel has been waiting hundreds, thousands of years for. She is going to be the one to bear him. One of the things, it doesn't happen so much in Australia, but in the US, they'll put parents will put bumper stickers on their cars, like, you know, "My child is on the honor roll at, you know, such and such high school." Or they'll put stickers of sports jerseys, like a football jersey with a number on it. And so that people will know that their child is on the football team. And so it's kind of, it's kind of a humble brag. It's not, it's just bragging. But the parents are so proud of their child. They're like, "Oh, they're on the honor roll. They're on the football team. I've got to tell everyone." And can you imagine Mary rolling up in her SUV at school? "My child is Son of the Most High and will rule over his kingdom forever." Mary would win the parking lot battles amongst the parents. That's a pretty incredible child that she's going to bear. So the news is just incredible. And then the angel says to her, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. So not only did Mary hear this news of joy for herself, but she heard news of joy for her relative, Elizabeth, who was barren, and yet she too was going to bear a child. So it's just incredible news after incredible news. You're highly favored. You're going to bear the Messiah, God's chosen ruler over all the earth. And your relative Elizabeth also is going to bear a child. And so how does Mary respond to all this? Well, her first response in verse 29 is that she freaked out a little. Well, maybe she freaked out a lot. It says she was greatly troubled. But even though she freaked out a lot, you've got to think she didn't freak out as much as she could have. Because faced with this situation, it's quite possible that she could have just passed out. She could have just fallen flat on the ground. And we would have had another verse in here saying, and the angel Gabriel attended to Mary and revived her. And then continued his message. She could have just burst into tears. She could have spontaneously combusted. I mean, anything really would be a reasonable response to what is happening to her. But she's greatly troubled and wondered what was going on. And then she asks a question. And really, her question is a very reasonable question. How is this going to happen? I'm a virgin. And then after the angel replies, Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Isn't that an incredible picture of faith? Of simple faith. Mary could have had a lot more questions about this. Mary might have maybe objected in some way. She might have said, are you sure you've got this right? Maybe Mary might have resisted even. She might have said, oh no, this sounds like too much. Maybe someone else might be better suited for this. She might have been worried for herself. What will people think? I'm not married. People are going to judge me for this. There are any range of possible responses Mary could have had, but the one she had was this. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. I wonder how many times we've responded to the Lord in that way. Or alternately, how many times have we gone down another path? Questions. Are you sure, God? Or thinking through the scenarios. But what if this happens? But if I do this, well then this might happen. But are you sure about this? How many times have we kind of responded with some hesitation and gone, oh, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I want to do this. Maybe we weigh the pros and cons of what God's asking us to do. Well, if I do this, then okay, this would happen. But then, you know, I think Mary's response shows us a model of simple faith, but I think often we can have quite a complicated faith, an overcomplicated faith. And so we see in Mary this great example. And I think part of Mary's ability to respond in this way is because of her encounter with the presence of God. If God was theoretical to her and she received this message saying, you're going to bear God's child and he'll be the ruler over everything. If Mary didn't have a relationship with God where she knew him, knew his goodness and his love, then it would probably be easier for her to have responded in a more complicated way. To go, oh, I'm not sure about this. But she encountered the presence of God. The angel Gabriel brought the glory and the presence and the love of God to her. And that helped her say yes. It's like if a parent has a child and maybe you're at a theme park or you're somewhere with rides. And the parent has the child and they're saying, come on, let's go on this ride. And the child's saying, but it's scary, but I don't know, but what's going to happen? But what if I fall out? But what if something hits me? But what if it breaks down? You know, all those thoughts that a child can have when they're faced with something unknown. But how often do you see when a parent can take the child by the hand and say, it's okay, I'm here, trust me, I'll be with you. That's what Gabriel was able to communicate to Mary. Not just this message in words, but God's presence that enabled Mary to say yes. Now for us, we definitely are not going to face this exact situation. God is not going to ask any of us to bear his only son on earth. That's happened. But God does often ask us to make big decisions about whether we will trust him, about whether we will obey him. And that can be decisions in relation to marriage, children, a job, where we live, what ministry we invest ourselves into, maybe what we do with our money, our resources. We can make big decisions. We do make big decisions all the time. And what we kind of see from this example of Mary is that it's okay to feel overwhelmed. It's okay to feel afraid sometimes by the situations that face us. It's also okay to ask God questions and to have wisdom and to seek understanding about the situations we're faced. But what God's looking for from us is yes. What God's looking for from us is not to overcomplicate, is not to think about all the possible outcomes, is not to weigh the pros and cons of being obedient to God. God's looking for us to say yes to him, to have faith. For Jillian and I, over the last few years, we've been exploring adoption. And the whole idea of adoption is incredibly complicated. There's complicated things about the children who are up for adoption. There's complicated things about the family backgrounds or the families still present of those children. There's complications with the government and the process involved. The application process involves meeting with a social worker who assesses you. That's complicated. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know the time frame of when things may happen. You don't know what age or situation the child might be when you get them. There are so many different complications. And I think if we weren't connected to God, if we were distant and if we didn't have a sense of his presence, it would probably be too overwhelming for us to think about it all. To think, oh, but if we do this, then what will happen to our lives? If we do this, what kind of issues will we have to deal with? What will it mean for our ability to travel? What will it mean for our choices in the future? What needs will this child have? What, you know, there are so many things that we could think about to kind of get stressed and fearful about the decisions. But when we're close to God, we both felt God just saying, just trust me. We both felt God taking us by the hand and saying to us, just say yes. just keep walking with me in this. And even at the moment, another thing God's put on my heart lately, over the last few years as well, I've kind of dabbled in different creative forms of ministry. I've done written spoken words and perform them in different ways and try to encourage creative expressions of the gospel in our City on a Hill community. And I feel like God's been pressing on me lately to take a step up in that, to do that more, to kind of step out and have courage in that. But I felt that kind of tension, that resistance. You know, but what if I do that? What if I fail? What if I do this and I'm embarrassed? What if I do this and I'm actually successful? And then I become known. And then people can write mean things about me on Twitter. What? They're already doing it now. What? Okay, all right. Luke, can you sort that out on our socials, please? Thanks. No, but, you know, I can think about all, you know, like, but what, oh, but, you know, I feel like God's leading me there, but what, and again, I just feel like God's saying to me, just say yes. Just trust me with this. So my question for you is what's God asking you to say yes to? What's God prompting you to step into in faith? Maybe what's something in your life that you might be overcomplicating, overthinking, maybe not doing because of fear? What's something that God might be coming alongside you and reaching out his hand and saying, come on, let's take this step together, trust me. And you might not think of something right now. There might not be a big thing that you can think of. But when we look at Mary, we don't know why God chose Mary. We don't know what her life was like before that. What we do know is that whatever her life was like before that, she didn't deserve to bear the Son of God. She didn't earn that by her good character. No one, no human could possibly earn or deserve such an honor. But what I think we do see from this is that Mary had developed a habit of saying yes to God. And that's what enabled her in this moment, in this huge moment, to just instinctively trust him. And so maybe if you don't have a big decision to make, or maybe if you do right now, what I want to encourage you is that we every day are making choices about whether to say yes to God. We're making choices that develop habits in our lives of trust and obedience. And one of the greatest ways to do that is to have a habit of being in God's word. Being a habit of spending time with him, of listening to him. But not just listening to him, that we would have a habit of reading his word and doing it. That's what we find in James. James writes, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And so I want to encourage you to develop this habit of saying yes to God. To learn to take him by the hand, to trust him, to obey him. If you have a big decision to make right now, that you would be willing to take that step with him. And if not, that you would be spending time now developing a habit so that when the big decisions come, you're not going to overcomplicate it. You're not going to agonize over it. You're not going to be fearful about it. You're going to be able to say, I am the Lord's servant. May his word to me be fulfilled. There's another thing that the presence of God does. And that's that it enables us to celebrate God's blessing of others. One of the cool things that happens here is that Mary then goes to Elizabeth, her relative, and Elizabeth has this effusive celebration of Mary. And for us, there are a few things that go against our ability to celebrate, because celebration is a kind of cultural thing, right? I'm sure Lawson would be able to share that people in the Middle East celebrate a bit differently to us. And there are a few things that go against you culturally in your ability to celebrate. Firstly is if you're a man. I don't want to offend anyone here, but men don't tend to be the greatest at celebrating, or particularly in praising someone else, unless it's in a sporting context. And then it's natural and instinctive and passionate. But when it comes to kind of calling out the good in another person or celebrating, that's often something men have a hard time with. Also, if you're of British descent, you know, the British culture tends to be a bit more reserved, less prone to public displays of emotion. Also, if you're Australian, because culturally for us Australians, we're so egalitarian, right? If anyone does well, our instinct is like, well, he better not think he's better than us. So we will make sure to pull him down or her down so that, you know, they don't elevate themselves above us. It's the kind of classic Australian tall poppy syndrome. And the other thing that might go against your ability to celebrate or praise someone else is if you're a Protestant. And a Protestant is someone who is a Christian who is not a Catholic or Orthodox believer. So that's us. We are Protestants. Baptists are Protestants. And because really all of the Protestant churches came out of the 1500s, and part of what it came out of was this objection of the over-elevation of humans, this over-elevation of Christians as saints that would be prayed to and venerated. And so as Protestants, part of our identity really is that we don't put people up too high for, you know, fear of being too Catholic about it. And so our ability to celebrate or praise other people can be limited if we are male of British descent, Australian and Protestant. Which is exactly what I am, funnily enough. A man born in England, raised in Australia, and a pastor of a Baptist church. So it's interesting then when we come to Elizabeth's response to Mary, that she's so effusive. We find in verses 39 to 45, it says, "When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her.'" Isn't that an incredible response? Elizabeth saying, "Oh, blessed are you, Mary. Blessed are you. And the child in your womb, blessed are you who has believed the Lord to fulfill his promises to you." And For Protestants, for Baptists, we can often have this reaction of being a little wary about saying Mary is blessed, and because we don't want to get carried away with it, right? We don't want to get into the devotion or the affection or we don't want to distract from Jesus. I think that's often our instinct, right? It's kind of like, well, if we really elevate this person, then it will detract from people's affection or devotion to Jesus. But what's interesting in here is that, and the NIV grammar kind of hides it, but in this verse where it says Mary Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, the NIV puts a full stop there, and then it says, in a loud voice she exclaimed, blessed are you among women. But there isn't actually a full stop in the Greek. Greek doesn't have punctuation like that. It's an and. And so it's more like Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and, like, she couldn't help but exclaim, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. It's almost as if it's actually the Holy Spirit saying that. The Holy Spirit is prompting these words out of Elizabeth's mouth. Blessed are you. And so I think we see in this that actually when the presence of God comes, what should happen is that we celebrate God's blessing of each other. That we praise God for his blessing of each other. When we see someone who is being honored by God and raised up and blessed by him, we don't kind of pull back and say, well, I don't want to make too big a deal of that. I don't want them to get a big head. You know, we don't want to, I'll just keep quiet. We actually, when the Holy Spirit's in us, it brings out our praise. We want to acknowledge that. We want to celebrate that. When God's working in a powerful way in someone, God wants us to praise him. And not for fear of, you know, standing out or for fear of someone getting a big head that we just kind of stay back in our reserved ways. Because when we praise someone for what God's doing in their lives, we're not detracting from the praise of God. We're adding to it. We're actually giving more content to it. Because we're acknowledging what he's doing. And we're saying, oh, what, this is amazing. You're so blessed. God has so honored you. This is incredible. So how do you go at that? When you see someone who God has given a gift to, whom God has maybe blessed with children or a good marriage or a fruitful ministry or a good career, or how are you at actually celebrating that in someone else? Because it's such a powerful thing to do. It's such a God-glorifying thing to do. As I was worshiping before, I hope this doesn't embarrass you, Amy, but I was looking at Amy. And Amy has been on an incredible journey the last couple of years. And I just felt, like, in my heart, just this huge desire to celebrate Amy. That God has blessed her. She's gone to Borroloola and Robinson River the last couple of years and stepped out in faith, even in the midst of such complexity and not knowing where it's going to go. She's been able to say yes to God. And in the worship ministry, she's even, you know, in her nervousness, she's been willing to come and be faithful and lead worship and come up here on stage. And in the last two Christmas concerts, do these crazy, cool, jazzy numbers for us. And she's humble. She's so, if we praise Amy, she's not going to get a big head. We don't need to worry about that. But when we celebrate God, God has blessed Amy. God is raising Amy up. He's honoring her for her faith. We're glorifying God as we do that. We're praising him for what he's doing. So let's be a church that bucks all of those cultural trends. Let's be a church that celebrates each other. And particularly that celebrates when God blesses someone, when God honors someone, when God raises someone up. And let's be a church where our culture is to say, blessed are you. How honored are you? I praise God for what he's doing in your life. Amen. And as I finish this morning, I just want to finish with Mary's song. Because this is how it all ends. It ends in praise of God. It ends with Mary herself not getting a big head about it, not being puffed up, not saying, yeah, how awesome am I? It's all about me. She's saying, how blessed am I that God would do this for me? I give glory to him. Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. The ultimate result of the presence of God is always praise, is always that glory would be given to God. And in the example of Mary, we see that that came through her simple faith, being willing to say yes to God. We see in Elizabeth's response that that came through her willingness to celebrate and praise God's honoring and blessing of Mary. And we see in Mary herself, as she heard the words of Elizabeth, she was able to send them straight to God and say, God, to you belongs this glory. You are the faithful one. You are the good one. You are the one true to his promises. And it's in you that we rejoice. I want to invite the band up, and I'm going to close this in prayer. Father God, we praise you. We praise you just as Mary herself praised you. That you are the God who brings low the proud, but lifts high the humble. We praise you, Lord, that you spoke to this woman and that she trusted you, and that through her womb Jesus was born. We thank you, Lord, for your honoring, your blessing of Mary, for her example to us of what it looks like to trust you and obey you. And God, we ask your help that we too would say yes to you, that we too would be willing to celebrate your blessing and your honoring of each other, and that we too, as we encounter your presence, would respond in constant praise, bringing glory to you, Lord. For you are worthy. You are good. You are faithful. You are the Lord of all. In Jesus' name, amen.